Alhamdulillah. Today is the 14th of June in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 19th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan. And I've reached verse 260 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, to spend the session on this blessed verse. So the translation, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Behold, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam said, O my Lord, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me how you give life to the dead. He, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, do you not then believe? He alayhi salatu was salam said, most certainly, but I wish to settle or calm my heart. He, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, take 4 birds, then cause them to turn to you. Put a portion of them on every mountain, and then call them. They will come to you, i.e. flying with speed. Then know that Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is exalted in power, the All-Wise. So, again, just from the translation, it clearly indicates an incident that took place between the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. his friend, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and his questioning or asking our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala about the matter of life and death. So there's a few reports. First of all, there's a hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are more liable to be in doubt than Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, and then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, qala awalam tu'min, qala bala walakin liyatama inna qalbi. O my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. He responded, do you not believe? He said, yes, but I wish to reassure my heart. So in this Sahih Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have more reason or more reasons to doubt than Ibrahim when he asked this question, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So what does this mean? So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he added to this, rahmatullah alayhi, this means we are more likely to seek certainty. Because the Messenger and Prophet of God doesn't need this. But we are more likely to seek certainty. And this is what the Prophet meant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's another report. He adds a few details. So this is in Sahih Muslim, number 382. And it's a similar report, but he adds that our beloved Messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he mentioned this incident with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. But then the Prophet added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam, for he longed for a strong support. And if I were to stay in prison as long as Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam stayed, I would have accepted the offer. So here the Prophet mentioned two other incidents, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned his brother Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he goes, may Allah ta'ala have mercy on him, he longed for a strong support. Now what does that mean? Again, the details are in the Quran, Surah 11 verse 8, but it's the incident when he had two guests, and then his wife mentioned to his people that there's two handsome men who've come to Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam, and obviously they wanted their evil ways, so they all surrounded the dwelling. And then Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam, in desperation, he goes, if only I had a strong support. He didn't realize that these are two angels come to destroy these people, Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam. He longed for a strong support, meaning this was human nature. Then he said, and if I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to stay in prison as long as Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam stayed, he stayed 8 years according to a report, I would have accepted the offer. And the offer was basically to leave the prison. right, to ask somebody to make a case for him outside. But here the Prophet was showing humility, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning three incidents of three Prophets, which you might have a doubt about, but the Prophet was coming, obviously, to their defense, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now going back to the part with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are more liable to be in doubt than Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So here there's many commentaries on this. But Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, in Fath al-Bari 7-223, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he meant, as I have no doubt, so too the Prophet Ibrahim never doubted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to doubt, I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the first to doubt. But you know that I have never fallen into doubt. Thus you can know that he alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too never doubted. So this is one of the meanings which Ibn Hajar said what the Prophet meant. He goes, we have more reasons to doubt. But when he said we, that means that the Prophet never doubted. So this clearly indicates that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he never doubted. So now this leaves the question, if he did not doubt, then why did he ask Allah Ta'ala to show him how to raise the dead? And the simple way to look at this is that he believed it absolutely. Because if you look at the Quranic terminology, he said, Bala. Allah Ta'ala asked him, he goes, don't you believe? He goes, Bala. And that's the same response that we gave to Allah the Almighty and Glorious when he said, am I not your Lord? Remember in the time when the Sauls all took the covenant, and we all responded, most certainly, without doubt, you are our Lord. So his response is clear. He said, I have absolutely no doubt. But he wanted to see it. He wanted to see how it works, how, as they say. The other thing which is fascinating about this is that the verse in actual fact is very comforting for the believers. This verse gives us great comfort. So how does it give us great comfort? There's a report in Hakim in his Musnadrak, he states sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he met Abdullah ibn Amr. So two sahaba met each other. Abdullah ibn Abbas, tarjuman al-Quran, radiyallahu anhu, he met Abdullah ibn Amr, the most prolific narrator of hadith, radiyallahu anhu, and he asked, which verse in the Quran carries the most hope for you, O Abdullah ibn Amr? So which is the most comforting verse from your knowledge? So Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu, he recited the famous verse in Surah Zumar, Surah 39, verse 53. O my servants, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins and He does not care. Because that is the most comforting verse. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he responded, radiyallahu anhu. However, I say that Allah the Almighty's statement, and he recited this verse, is the most comforting. And he quotes the verse. He goes, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. He said, don't you believe? He said, certainly, but I wish to reassure my heart. He goes, this is the most comforting verse, I believe. So Ibn Amr said, why do you think this? So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Allah the Almighty accepted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's affirmation when he said, yes, this verse refers to the doubts that attack the hearts and thoughts that shaitan inspires. So think about that. So what was Ibn Abbas simply saying? He goes, this is so comforting, this verse. Why? Because when you have those strange thoughts that sometimes go through your heart and mind, like I mentioned yesterday, you enter a graveyard and you think, will these people really come back to life? And of course you believe they will come back to life. But you get those whispers. He goes, this verse proves that Allah allows that. Because when he asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, don't you believe? That's the key point. Because don't you believe I can bring the dead to? He goes, yes, certainly. Allah Ta'ala then allowed them. Meaning, it's so comforting for us to have this safety net as given by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine that wasn't the case. If somebody goes, dude, it's not, no, no, it's not just believing, brother. Have you ever experienced a whisper in your heart that death's not going to come back? You've blown it. Then how many of us will be successful? Most of us will, you know. So therefore, the verse is Ibn Abbas said, the most comforting verse, even above that great verse which Ibn Amr recited, radiallahu anhu. And also, with regards to whispers, there's very interesting reports. In Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 10, verse 94. So in Surah 10, verse 94, there's a verse, and it mentions. So there's a report, the hadith is in Abu Dawud, is Hasan, Targhib, and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abu Zamil, rahmatullah alayhi tabi'in, he relates. I mentioned to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, I sometimes feel something in my heart, i.e. I get whispers, I get doubts, and I'm worried. So Ibn Abbas said, do you have doubts? And then he laughed. So the Tabi'in was left perplexed. He was thinking, I've come with a serious, you know, problem, and I brought it to the companion of the Prophet, because I get these, you know, doubts, and he's laughed at me. So then Ibn Abbas then said, no one escapes this, because nobody is exempt. He goes, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, and then he recited, this is a proof, Surah 10, verse 94, the translation. If you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are in doubt as to what we have revealed unto you, then ask those who have been reading the book before you. The truth has indeed come to you from your Lord. So stop in the report. So Ibn Abbas said, if Allah the Almighty and Glorious says to his beloved, if you doubt this Quran, then go to the people of the book. So Allah Ta'ala is actually saying, look, this is nature, human nature. I've created you, I know you. So he was reassuring that Tabi'in. He goes, oh, what are you? He goes, he started laughing at him. This is part of nature. Don't be too hard on yourself. Then Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, when you feel any of this in your heart, then I will give you something which you can recite. So before going to that, the Prophet never doubted. So don't think when you read that verse that he went to the people of the book. Because he himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tabarani, number 17,906, 17,908, Qurtubi's tafsir 8-340. When this verse was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala said, if you doubt, go to the people of the book. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not doubt, I will never ask. So Allah Ta'ala was just mentioning it for us, but he went through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I don't doubt. He said, I will never ask them. So don't start thinking the Prophet himself, maybe, you know, maybe I need to ask you know, some of these rabbis. Nothing like that. Get that out of your head. That verse was for us, to honor us. So then Ibn Abbas, what did he say? He goes, if you get this wiswas, you should recite this. And it's Surah Al-Hadith, verse 3. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. He is the أول, he is the آخر, he is الظاهر, he is باطن, he has full knowledge of all things. He goes, this will take away the doubt. Or Abu Zumil or Zumel. So this verse, Surah 57 verse 3, gets rid of whispers. So this is a medicine. People always ask these questions, oh, I've got problems, you know, I get whispers. Read this verse. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. But that's not the only gift or medicine for whispers. There's others. Also, Surah Ikhlas. So, just to mention the relevant part. So the hadith is in Abu Dawud and Mishkat and Sahih al-Jami number 8182. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people will nearly ask too many questions, so that one of them will finally say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the creation, but who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If they say this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then recite Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, the whole surah, but without Qul. So the Prophet goes, if you get this doubt with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recite this: Huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. You know, say قل. So the Prophet said, this will help. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you spit dryly to your left 3 times, like this. And then you seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. So basically, you get the doubt. So you can read Surah 57 verse 3. You can read Surah Ikhlas without qul. You spit dryly 3 times to your left. And then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. That's the second cue. There's a third. In another report, it mentions, again in Sahih al-Jami, number 6587, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever experiences anything of this wiswas, then let him say 3 times, Amantu billahi wa rasooli, and that will drive the shaitan away. Amantu billahi wa rasooli, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, because that will drive the shaitan away. So let's put it simply. There's 3 cures given by the revelation. First of all, don't worry about it. That's the key point. Don't start thinking my iman must be non-existent. I'm thinking these silly thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry about it, as long as you deny it. 3 things. Surah 57 verse 3. Surah Ikhlas without qul. And amantu, then you spit 3 times directly to your left. Say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Then you say, Amantu billahi wa rasul. That's all you need. You don't need to go to a sheikh. You don't need to go to Sheikh al-Hadith. The cure's in the Quran. And don't take Prozac. It won't help you. So note here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, this is one of the wisdoms why he mentioned this, is to actually say, look, I allow this. When you have these thoughts going through your head, which is certainly worth mentioning with regards to this holy verse. So now another thing here, and this is more to do with theology. So Imam Razi, let me give you the answer first, before giving his quote. Imam Razi, he was basically saying, life is present in the grave without bones. Bones don't need to be present. Life is present there. That's the answer. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Now I'll give you his quote. Imam Razi in his Tafsir Kabir, volume 2, page 329, he states, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah have derived from this very verse that the preservation of the human skeleton is not necessary for life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala animated all these separate parts. They heard the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they came running to him. This proves that the preservation of the whole body is not a prerequisite for life. The verse clearly describes that the parts had the capability to hear and run even when they were scattered. It is a clear proof that preservation of the human skeleton is not essential for life. Now, why is that important? Again, whispers. People, oh no, it's nothing there now. You buried 20 years ago, yeah, it's gone, everything's gone. There's still life there. You still can attend there, he will listen to you. A person goes, where's the proof of that? There's nothing there. This verse. Who said that? Imam Razi. He goes, the bones don't need to be there. The birds came back to life. Yes, it was a miracle, but the birds heard. Think about it. If birds without life hear, then what about human beings? Also, another point here is that in another verse of the Quran, in Surah 37, verse 143-4, Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions about Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the translation. Had it not been that he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have certainly let him remain in the belly till the day of resurrection. So this is a verse. So he was in the belly, let's say a whale, for the sake of argument. He was in the belly of the whale. The Quran says, if he had not been amongst those who remembered his Lord, he would have remained in the belly till when? Till the day of judgment. These verses clearly show that till such time the animal is alive, its belly would be considered its grave. Since the animal will certainly die, will enter the earth, the same place will be continued to be the grave. Have you understood this? So, hypothetically, if he had remained in the belly of the whale, alayhi salatu wasalam, let's say he passed away, then of course the whale would die. The world dies, turns into dust. The grave is still there. Have you understood? Though you can't see anything. Why? Because the Quran says, had he not been those who glorified Allah, he would have remained in the belly till the day of resurrection. So why am I mentioning this? So simply put, note therefore, it's still the grave, though you can't see it. Now, why are these things important for us? Because we're not materialists. You understand? You get some Muslims having these thoughts now. We respect the body as long as the body's there. We respect the grave as long as the grave's there. Who told you that? Oh, it's common sense, isn't it, brother? There's no grave there. No. Right? All of this, you know, is from derived from Quran. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you that the body might not be there, but it can still hear you. It's got the capability. In fact, there's a beautiful hadith mentioning this. The hadith mentions, in fact, let me mention this verse. There's actually a tafsir I want to mention. Surah 37, verse 143. So in Surah 37, verse 143, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, that it would have been his grave. 144, sorry. 143, 144. The report says, this is in Ibn Jarir's tafsir. Qatada recited verse 144. لَلَبِثَا فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He would certainly have remained inside the fish till the day of resurrection. Qatada explained, this does not mean that the fish would have lived till the day of resurrection. And Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam would have also remained alive in it till then, but it means the fish's belly would become his grave till the day of resurrection. So that's the only doubt. Somebody could say, well, maybe he would have remained alive in the belly of the whale and the whale would have lived till Qiyamah. No. Qatada goes, it doesn't mean that. It means that would have been his grave, and this is proving the point which is mentioned here. So again, this is also deduced from this. So now, going to the details. So what actually happened? So first, Imam Qurtubi, he says, rahmatullahi, in his commentary, if you reflect on the request he made and all the words of the ayat, you will find that they do not imply doubt at all. It is a question of how. It is a matter of the manner of the occurrence of a phenomena which exists and is affirmed by the asker. It is just like the question, how does Zayd know? Or how is the cloth woven? And other such questions. How is a question about a state? And here it asks about the manner of bringing to life. Have you understood? It doesn't mean doubts, right? It just means you know, you're curious. You're curious how. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked, oh my Lord, how do you bring the dead? Show me how you bring the dead to life. He was curious. Imam Qurtubi goes, he wasn't doubting, not in the least. He just wanted to see. Then Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi said, doubt of this sort is absolutely impossible for the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. It constitutes unbelief. Allah the Almighty reports that the shaitan has no way against the prophets and the awliya. And he recites Surah 15 verse 42. You have no authority over any of my servants. So Allah Ta'ala says he's got no authority. If he has no power over them, how could he make them doubt? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was asking about how the parts of the dead are gathered together after they separate, and how the sinew and skins are reconstituted after they have fallen apart. Some mention that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam meant that he wanted to know how his Lord brings the hearts to life. But this is false and rejected. So 2 points. So Imam Qurtubi said, don't think ill of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That in itself is kufr in your part. So that's not wispas. That's a serious problem. But you could think that by reading these verses in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, some people, and this is absolutely false, Imam Qurtubi said, because he wasn't asking about bringing the dead to life. He was asking about how hearts come back to life. Have you understood? Imam Qurtubi said, this is false, this is rejected. Why? Because he said, I want to reassure my heart. It's to do with life and death, physical life and death. Now, why have I mentioned that here? Because you get some warmth of seats. You have to be careful of them. You haven't gone through any authority. So now, another question goes to the mind. Why did he ask this question? Okay, you know, he was in doubt. He was curious. But why was he asking this question? So Imam Qurtubi said there's three possible reasons why he asked this question. He goes, first, there's disagreement. He goes, number one, it is said that Allah the Almighty promised to make him his Khalil, and he wanted a sign of this. So Allah the Almighty in glory said, you are my intimate friend. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, please, give me a sign of that. Show me that I'm your intimate friend. That's one reason. The second, it is said that it was the words of Nimrod, I give life and cause death, which made him ask this question. So going back to the two verses prior, what did the Nimrod say? I can give life and death. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, oh my Lord, I know you have that power. You have the sole authority to do this, but I'd like to see it. Nimrod infused his curiosity. And the third is, Hasan al-Basri said, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw a riding animal which wild beasts and snakes had eaten. So he saw an animal that had been partially eaten, partially intact. It was half on land, half in the sea. When he saw how it was split, he wanted to know how it would be gathered back together so that his heart would be at peace by seeing how the parts would be rejoined when he saw how they were separated. So note, there's ikhtilaf, but he certainly asked that question. So simply put, one was, I'm the Khalil, please give me a sign of that. Secondly, Nimrod infused his curiosity. And thirdly, he saw half an animal in the water and the land. He wanted to see it come back to life. So now, what actually happened? So Imam Qurtubi, he gives you the details. So what does the Quran say? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَأَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. Take four birds and draw them to you. That's all he says in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? So Imam Qurtubi said, it is said that the four birds were the following. A cockerel, that's one bird. A peacock, that's the second bird. Then there's ikhtilaf. The third was, it was a dove. But some say it was an eagle. And the fourth was a crow. Some say it was a crane. So there was four birds. Quran clearly mentions that. What were the birds? There seems to be an agreement on two. A cockerel, a peacock, but then there's ikhtilaf, whether it was a dove and a crow, or an eagle or a crane. And the reason is because of the authorities he mentions. Then Imam Qurtubi said, Ibrahim alayhi salam took these birds. So think about that. He didn't just get sparrows. You know, where did he get a peacock from? You know, just think about what he had to do. He had to get a peacock, according to one report, cockerel, which is easier, I guess, eagle, dove, crane, crow, you know, subhanAllah. He took these birds and he slaughtered them and cut them into pieces. So now it's interesting. If you read the verse, it mentions nothing about slaughtering. Look at the translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take four birds, then cause them to turn to you. So here, you need commentary. So here it mentions, in Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas recited that portion, i.e., what it mentions, فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ, then cause them to turn to you. He explained, it means, cut them to pieces. So look how beautiful. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he doesn't mention the harsh words with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He just said to him, take them, bring them to you. What he meant by that, Ibn Abbas said, was slaughter them. And this is why it was interesting. The cutting up or killing is not mentioned. It is implied by an ellipsis. As the question is how Allah the Almighty gives life to the dead. Ellipsis is the beauty of the Quran. So then what happened? So Imam Qurtubi, he gives you the details. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he took those birds and he slaughtered them and he cut them into small pieces. So imagine. Also some meat. He mixed their flesh together with the blood and feathers so that they were all jumbled together. And then he put parts of that mixture on mountains, on each mountain. So imagine, you know, the only thing you can think of is what you see in the butchers. He cut up all the meat, but he mixed the feathers with it, wasn't going to eat it, slaughtered them, and he's put him on mountains. He's traveling probably weeks on this mountain, and maybe a few days later, top of another mountain. So this was a project. So when he did all this, he stood where he could see those pieces. So even though they were on different mountains, he could see it. He had an elevated spot to see. Whilst he kept the heads of the birds with him. So he cut the heads off, he kept the birds' heads, but the bodies were scattered on the mountains. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call them. And the hadith says, he said, bi-idhnillah, come with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, those pots, headless pots, flew to him. And the blood flew to him, and the feathers, until they were as they were at first, but they had no heads. So now they had all come back together without the heads. He had the heads in his hands. Then he repeated the call second time. He made a second announcement. He goes, bi-idhnillah, come together. Then the bodies attached themselves to their own heads with the command of Ibrahim. And then what did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, know that I have got full power and full authority. So note, another amazing incident taking place, which he asked for. But there's a detail which Imam Qurtubi doesn't mention, which is mentioned in the other works. And it mentions in Imam Ibn Kathir's tafsir. And it's also other references. Ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam kept the heads of these birds in his hand. Next, Allah the Almighty commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to call the birds. He did as commanded. Ibrahim witnessed, they all came back. But then look what he mentions. Every bird came back to life and came walking at a fast pace towards him. Now, why were the birds walking fast to him? Because the Quran actually says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, call them to you, they will come swiftly to you. So the birds were that fearful of disobeying Allah, so they came very fast to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then it says each bird came to collect its head from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's hand. And then it says he gave the bird another head. So he put, for example, the crow's head on the peacock. But the bird refused. It started nodding like this. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave each bird its own head, the head was placed and then it attached. So the final thing that he did in his heart, just something that went through his heart, he thought, let me just fish the heads around. Crow on the peacock, peacock on the crane. And they went, and he started nodding his head, saying, no. Put it back. So look what was happening. If you really reflect about this, this is mind-blowing. And he was shown this, and this is why our iman is incompatible to the prophets. Seeing and not seeing is alike to them. We believe that Allah Ta'ala has that ability. We absolutely believe it. But have you seen it? Right? So therefore, these are all part and parcel. But Allah Ta'ala has taught you that the prophets ask these questions. I fulfilled their desires. And the other thing to mention here. Like I mentioned, there's five places in Surah Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala brings the dead to life. Hafiz Ibn Kathir says in his Tafsir Volume 1, page 262 of the English translation. He goes, there's five places. The first is when he mentions, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. Then we raised you up after your death. I, the 70 who wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the ones that went with Musa, who want to see Allah. So Allah ta'ala killed them. Ya Allah, they're going to say, I killed them. Bring them back to life again. This is the first. Then he mentioned the story of Baqarah, the cow. That's the second. Death comes back to life. Then he mentions those of the plague. Hizqeel alayhi salatu wa salam. Then he mentions the village or the land that was destroyed. Uzair alayhi salatu wa salam. Then he mentions the birds of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. All these incidents and narratives alert us to the fact that bodies shall again certainly become whole after they are rotten. Think about that. You know, people start saying, where's the proof that these dead bodies come to life? We don't need proof. You don't really, that's the answer to that question. What do you mean you don't need proof? Because you're a fool. He goes, yeah, because Quran says it. Quran says they come back to life. So a person goes to you, well, do you have that much trust in the Quran? Absolutely. Think about that, innit? But what do we say? We start going down the path of science. Well, you know, in science, seasons come and spring and this, that, the other. Allah Ta'ala has done it 5 times in Surah Baqarah. He brought absolute death to life, visibly showing it. So if Allah Ta'ala has done that, we have absolutely no doubt about this. And to conclude, there's a beautiful report. The hadith is in Bayhaqi. And the report mentions that there was a son who would visit the grave of his father. When he would visit the grave of his father, he would regularly go for 10 years. So for 10 years, dutifully, he would go to pay his respects. But after 10 years, something went through his heart. And in his heart, he thought, my father's probably dust now. Because there's nobody here, so is there really any point me coming to visit? That same night, he sees his father in his dream. Imagine. And he goes, son, because you're right. I have turned to dust. But I'm still aware of your presence. Note how everything fits in with our belief. There's nothing there in the grave. But he goes, I still know you're coming to see me. And then he goes, I even see you walking back in the lanes of Kufa. So what does that teach you? And now you've got fruitcake saying, well, all right, if you want to go and knock yourself out in it. There's nothing happening there. But if you feel good, go ahead. Imagine it. Look at the contrast. Look what Allah Ta'ala is telling you. His messengers telling you. Our ulama are telling us. And look what they're telling you. Right? And this is why the Prophet, even in one report, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nasai, he told us, he instructed us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to refer to graveyards as the place of the dead. You don't use these terms. Why? Because people then start thinking there's nothing happening there. Look at these kuffar, they give you really strange names. You can't blame them because they don't believe. So what do they call the graveyards? What sort of nicknames do they give it? It goes, the boneyard. Right? They say that, it goes, the boneyard. Now what they mean by that is, well, it's dead people in it. Boneyard, in it. And they use other names you can use but can't say in the masjid. But all of that is because they don't believe anything's happening. But we have absolutely, we don't believe that at all. We believe everything's happening there. In fact, more people are in barzakh than they are alive. And that's why the Prophet encourages to visit the dead. So all of this, alhamdulillah, helps to explain this passage. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم رب أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ 4 من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يعتينك سعيا وعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. Another point I should have mentioned is that Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in this holy verse, He clearly says to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ala kulli jabalin, take the pieces and put them on every mountain. Clearly says that. Did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam go to Mount Everest? Ben Nevis. Quran says every mountain. So here the ulama said designated mountains. Designated. Now why is that important? Because there's a hadith about bid'ah, which uses the same word. Kullu bid'ah dalal. Every innovation is misguidance. But does it mean every? Or does it mean designated? So look, you know, you just leave it to the ulama, right? Don't start narrating hadiths and start thinking you understand these reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here the proof is, it means designated. Does it mean every? So again, another thing which the scholars have pointed out. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Qur'an the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربي رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.